Pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Yeah, I hate the time zones. I hate the different time zones. Look at there, my buddy Tim, he's up. It's at 7 o'clock here on the East Coast. I said, I'm not even on the coast. We always say that, though, don't we? 7 o'clock out here on the East Coast. Well, I'm not. I'm on the foothills of the Appalachian Mountains, and it's still 7 o'clock here, which means it's 4 o'clock where Tim is. And, boy, I wish there was somehow, some way, maybe if I lived right in the heartland, where 7 o'clock in the morning would be like 9 o'clock in the morning. And then I got so many great guests that I'd like to put in front of all of us. But I have a hard time saying, hey, can you get up at 4? Join me? Most people think, are you crazy? But we're not a show of, we're not a show based on guests. I love guests, but we're not driven by guests. But boy, I'm telling you, there's a lot of people that we could get on that would really open your eyes to some things that are going, that are happening. And I think something that was, we really kind of, the Lord, Holy Spirit's amazing, because yesterday I got up, I was kind of tired, and I've been traveling all day and worn out over the weekend. I thought we had a powerful show yesterday with some truths that we got into. It just kind of fell out of nowhere. And I feel like I got one of those shows kind of bubbling and boiling inside me today. So I want to get that stuff, those cards out on the table from us. And I always feel bad, somewhat bad, when the show's over. I said to my wife, you know, honey, nobody said much. It's just me talking all the time. And so I'm trying to get a beat. Is that good or is that bad? Is that good or bad? And I still don't know, because I like audience participation. But sometimes, you know, Michael Savage gets on one of his rolls, and I just sit back and say, wow. So I hope that's what's going on, and why you got, I hope you're transfixed rather than bored as we dive into some of these truths. I want to clarify something. I did a little bit of research yesterday, because I heard from a couple of folks on the whole thing with Randy Travis. Let me clarify something so that you people, I'm sorry, that didn't sound right, so the people understand. Randy Travis had a horrible stroke. He is in therapy. He can walk, okay? He can walk, only with a cane, and not long distances. Now, you might call that walking. I don't call that walking. So they probably at the airport, they had him in a wheelchair because it's easier to get around, right? Because people, see, I've heard from people, they said, well, you're saying all this about Randy Travis. Well, I saw him singing on the Country Music Awards. And all, so I did a little bit more research, and here's the truth. Believe it or not, he finds it easier to sing than to speak. He has a language deficit because of the stroke. And imagine this. I was thinking about this yesterday. I read something online where it's, his wife was talking about how after he got out of some of his therapy, they gave him some headphones and he listened to some of his music, and how torturing it was to him, because he could hear the music, but he couldn't express the music, and it was like torture to him. And so you think about that right now, probably what's playing around in his head. He's hearing these songs and all this stuff. And so they said that through his therapy, they're finding out that that part of him is coming back easier than his language. But he's far from a healthy guy, okay? He's far from healthy. And he's going to appear in another show coming up. I think maybe it's this weekend or another awards show coming up here. But they take a lot of time through therapy to help him learn to sing Amazing Grace. Do you understand that, guys? When I sat down and I looked in Randy Travis's eyes, I'm telling you, he could not converse with me. He couldn't. Now, maybe he could if we had more time and in a different environment. But you know how when you're talking to somebody and you get an immediate response from him, there was no immediate response coming from him other than he said, thank you. So those of you who are out there who you know, said, oh, you're making that up. That didn't happen. I saw him singing here and I read this about him. He's in therapy. He's getting better, but he's not normal. They can put him in a wheelchair and they can walk him out as you're, you know, they can walk him out on stage and stand him up and he can stand up and he can, but Randy Travis isn't, he isn't Randy Travis anymore. Okay. That was the point that I was going to try to make, and that we all can be there. That's where we all ultimately end up, you know, all of us do. And I just was I don't know. It was a God moment that God put me right there to be able to look into his eyes and pray for him. That was the point that I was making, not about whether he's how bad off he is. I know this, I could probably sing his songs better than he can. But think about this, those words. See, listen, folks, because of my special education background dealing with kids, Rich and I had a little conversation about this. We see your soul. You have a mortal soul. And just because someone isn't speaking, that's why we talk about people. The Terry Schiavo thing. When I went down and got arrested for trying to take water to Terry Schiavo, I was trying to tell anybody who would listen to me, just because she's not speaking doesn't mean she's not there. And just because she's not reacting the way that you and I would react doesn't mean she's not there. And when we lose our verbal communication, we think people are dead because they aren't able to respond to us. Remember, the soul of a man, the soul is inside you till the spirit leaves. They leave together, man. Spirit and soul leave. So that's why we have to be very, very careful with, what do they call that? Euthanasia. When we old people decide to die with dignity, because the death process is just as real as the birth process. And you think about your young baby, and you look in your young baby's eye, well, he isn't talking back to you, but you know he's alive because his eyes are moving. Well, the same thing's true of somebody going out that other end. They may not be able to verbalize it, but their eyes, you look in their eyes, you know they're in there. So we have to be very, very careful, because that's what Margaret Sanger and some of the youth, I can't think of that word. It'll come to me. They call them useless eaters. When you reach a point where you can't verbalize anything, you become a useless eater. We gotta be careful. We gotta guard against that. So I want to get that out on the table regarding Randy Travis. And then I want to go here. I've been pondering something. Boy, you know how all of a sudden, I'm sure this has happened to you. Boom, right between the eyes, it hit me. Tim put something there. I got you, Tim. Boom, this morning. I had a good night's sleep last night. Praise the Lord. Woke up and wasn't 3 o'clock this morning. Woke up and I was fresh this morning. And I got thinking about a lot of different things. I got thinking about education. I got thinking about yesterday we were talking about the essentials of the faith. And I have that. I want to try to come back to that today. The essentials of the faith and the fact that we're majoring on the minors. I was out yesterday working out a little bit. And I was thinking about that, man. How everything that we really divide over and argue over, and all of it's non-essentials. All of it is non-essentials. And those foolish and unlearned questions avoid, for they engender strife. I don't know what Roger's end time theology is, and I don't care. I don't care. And I don't care whether I don't care if Chad speaks in tongues or not. I don't care. It's a non-essential. I don't care if George lays hands on the sick and sees them recover. And I don't care. It's a non-essential. Are you with me? But what happens to us is George gets healing ministry and everything that he does is about his healing ministry. Well, I think that's unbalanced. Think about this, Rich. You hang around some of your people, some of your friends, family. They say, Rich, don't you ever talk about anything except Jesus. Right? Well, we understand why that is, because the Holy Spirit's empowered you. But to the lost, unsaved world, they don't want to hear just that because they don't understand it. But also, we have to understand, we have to cut each other some slack, because Michael's listening right now, maybe. Or I don't know if he's listening live, but I'm sure he's going to hear it. Our buddy Michael down in Georgia. Chad, my buddy Chad, who's listening right now. I know this about Chad. His mind is constantly prepping. That's all he wants to do. He's not choosing to do that. That's where his mind is running. That's the path it's running down. It's his gift. It's where the Lord's anointed him to do it. But ministry isn't just prepping. My buddy Michael loves the numbers, numerology. Oh, coach, did you see that's number 9 here, number 6 here, and they connect to number 12 here? And it's real to him. And the Lord has gifted him in that area. But if we just sit around all the time, we talk about numbers. Holy smoke, come on, give me a break here. And Dizdar, Russ Dizdar is gifted in the deliverance and casting out devils. And man, that's awesome. Is that the only gospel? Is that all it is? That's all it is? Got guys who want to talk about CERN and Planet X and all that stuff. It's all good, but they're all just branches of this thing that we're living out. See?
Well, coach.
Yeah.
Okay. Chad here. Just saying, I think what you're trying to say is we need to be well-rounded.
That's it.
And that's why it's important that a show like this and a group such as we have keeps us all on the right track, I think.
Right.
And you know, we through fellowship, that's why God knew what he was talking about when he talked about fellowship, because it keeps us, you know, it keeps us balanced.
That's right. And so, Chad, that's very well said. So when we were in Dallas, what are we running into? We're running into people who are not well-balanced because all they do is listen to Dizdar. Well, I love Dizdar. Why wouldn't you want to listen to him? But you listen to Dizdar, you're going to get one sliver. No, sorry, Russ, didn't mean that. It's going to be focused on one area. That's why people come to him. They go to him to hear about the deliverance and the MK Ultras, and it's all good. But if that's all you listen to, are you kidding? So people, then there's some who go there, and all they want to do is hear about L.A. Marzulli and the Giants and what's going on with the Nephilim. But if that's it, that's all you do? And so we have a tendency to gravitate towards the things that we enjoy. I said to Tim before I came on the air today, first time in my life, I think, I didn't watch not one dribble of that basketball game last night. We're talking about that national championship. Duke and Gonzaga, I think it was. I'm sorry, North Carolina and Gonzaga. I didn't watch one dribble of it. Now, does that mean I'm not well-rounded anymore? Because I would normally have been sitting there eating popcorn and drinking pop and getting fat till midnight. But I didn't last night because my focus has changed. But here's we have to be careful with this. Your passion is your passion. And to be perfectly honest with you, I may not care about it, all right? Am I making sense? So I'm trying to give a well-rounded, full gospel approach to what it is we're trying to do. Holy Spirit, guide us into all truth. So I got so much good stuff the Lord downloaded into me already this morning. And Lord, just take us in the right direction. Let me peek over here, make sure I say the whole thing. Okay, I'm going to do this. Listen, guys. I think the least understood, least talked about, and most powerful thing in all of Christianity is the Holy Spirit. And we don't talk about it. And the reason we don't talk about the Holy Spirit, can I tell you why? Is because we have chased, I'm going to get a little closer here. We've chased after gifts. And when most people hear the term, our church is filled with the Holy Spirit, we immediately think of gifts and healings and laying on of hands and speaking in tongues and dancing. And right? Are y'all with me? Y'all with me? So therefore, what does the Holy Spirit become? An entertainer? Performer? Let me ask you a better question. Why would you go to any church that's not filled with the Holy Spirit? I'll say it again real slow. Why would you go to any church that's not filled with the Holy Spirit? I'm in Acts 1. Let's open this up very quickly. Because I want to try to... Well, I'm going to throw this question out here. I'm going to give you a little bit of time to think about it. Sometimes like... I hit you real quick with a question, and then I don't give you time to think. So I'm going to ask this question, and then we're going to read, okay? Are you ready? What's the job of the Holy Spirit? What's the job? What's the purpose of the Holy Spirit? Stay right there. We're in Acts 1. You got it up there for me, Jared? Time out. Would you guys all agree with what I just laid out there? When we think about the Holy Spirit, we think of gifts. Would you agree with that, Tim? And in some churches, would you agree with me, the Holy Spirit isn't welcome because they don't believe in those gifts? Yes or no? Yes or no? And so rather than remembering that the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit is God. Chapter 1 of Acts. The former treatises of Amado Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. We have to understand this. It's twice. There's only twice kingdom of God, by the way. I think there's only twice in the entire scriptures where you see Jesus and the Holy Spirit together at the same time. I don't have the scripture in front of me, but Jesus comes to the disciples and he says to them, he said, hey boys, I'm paraphrasing. Hey boys, I'm getting ready to go. It's expedient for me that I go away. I'm leaving. And they said, oh no, man, don't. He'd been here 40 days with them, walking around, right? He says, no, boys, I got to go. He says, actually, it's a good thing. It's expedient for you that I go. Because if I go, another one's coming. Jesus was God in the flesh. He says, I'm going to leave, and another one's coming. And another one's coming is going, he who is with you, meaning God, now is going to be in you, and he's going to guide you into all truth. Wow. Bear with me. And being assembled together, verse 4, with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Now, time out. See, right now, in American Christianity, some people tune out because they don't want to be speaking in tongues. Not going to be speaking in tongues and blowing that crazy horn and dancing. No. They tune out because they don't know the purpose of the Holy Spirit. What does the Holy Spirit? Oh, I'm going to dance in the Spirit. Oh, I felt the Spirit. Criminy. We want to make everything experiential. He said, verse 7, I said unto them, it's not for you to know the times of the season. And don't we spend a lot of time trying to figure out the times and the seasons? And he said, why are you doing that? That's not for you to know. It's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But rich, you shall receive power. How would you like to do that? What if the church just got a hold of that? You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost comes upon you. When that power comes upon you, you're going to be witnesses. Whew. Unto me, in Jerusalem, right where you live, and in Judea, all the state around you, and in the United States, Samaria, and then maybe even you get to go on a mission trip somewhere. But you're going to start right where you live. You're going to feel this power, and you're going to be the witness of the power. With me here, guys? Doesn't say anything about speaking in tongues here. Doesn't say anything about dancing in the Spirit. Doesn't say anything about prophesying in the future. Doesn't say anything about that. See, we are not, among many of the other things that we have done, we have not taught Christian kids or Christian adults about the power and purpose of the Holy Spirit. Somebody piggyback in here a minute, because when you think about the Holy Spirit in your church, or you hear somebody talking about the Holy Spirit, what comes to your mind?
The power of the Holy Spirit was in D.C. with us, and it wasn't no talking in tongues, and it was a power to do the ministry fearlessly.
Amen.
Yeah, it was peace of mind. It was peace of mind. You knew it's protection. That, you know, as long as you're doing God's will, no one can stand, you know, If God is with us, who can stand against us?
Okay.
Something like that.
Right, right. What's the major job of the Holy Spirit? I'm not. This isn't a quiz, and I'm not trying to show some people smarter than others. But here's what I think that. Well, I'm going to ask you. What's the major job of the Holy Spirit?
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
I think it's to convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment.
I would agree. Although I think that's a byproduct. Okay, I think it's a byproduct. I think you're right, but I think it's a byproduct.
Well, you know what I say?
Say it, Tim.
When a person first gets saved, what do? I can remember when I first got saved, I was hanging out with my buddies out at the local park where we used to play a little bit of football, drink beer. Now, I'm right. A senior in high school. A week before we graduate, I get saved. This guy's teasing me. So slapped me in the face and said, "Turn the other cheek, Christian." So I jumped on him, started pounding him on the face as he's on the ground, and tell him about Jesus. You need to repent, get saved. Now, are you going to get saved right now or not?
Well, that's a different evangelistic outreach, Tim.
Yeah, well, the pastor told me you can't witness that way. And I said, sure he can. So my point is, when the Holy Spirit comes on you, you become a witness. And it'll manifest in many different fun ways.
Oh, okay, now we're getting somewhere. A witness to what?
Dave?
Yeah. Yeah, Roger, I heard you. I'm Googling something else up over here. Yeah, I hear you. Uh-huh.
I think the Holy Spirit also helps us to understand God's word. It makes his word, we're able to understand it because the Holy Spirit is speaking and helping us to understand it.
Amen. That's part of it. I'm typing. I'm going to get
a witness, man. We have to witness. He gives us power not to be shy.
Hey, Jared, go to John chapter 16, please. Guys, listen. When this dropped inside me upstairs about an hour ago, I thought, oh, man. Wow. That was my reaction. Did you ever go out and your car wouldn't start? You kept cranking it and cranking it, cranking it, and couldn't figure out what was going on. Why won't the car start? You go around, you check the oil, and you clean off the plugs. I don't even know if you do that anymore. I know nothing about cars. You'll get a jumper cable, you try to jump it, won't start. What the heck? Why won't my car start? And then your wife comes out and says, "Honey, is there gas in it?" Well, the gauge says it is. Yeah, but you're sitting on a hill. Is there gas in it? Oh, no. Here it is. You ready? God, this is what a revelation I got this morning. 16, go to verse 10. Or start at 10. Okay, here you go. Here you go. Let's start in verse 7. Hey, guys, you're going to get a revelation. I pray right now that the Lord's going to give you a revelation. I just got one. Jesus says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth." Remember, unbelievable. I was just saying this. "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, that it's expedient for you that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Comforter will not come unto you. And if I depart, I'll send him unto you. And when he has come, he will prove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of the world is judged. 12, I have not yet many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now." Why can't they bear them? Because they don't have the Holy Spirit yet. So I got a lot of stuff to tell you, but I can't tell you yet. You don't have the software yet. Watch. Here it is. "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he's going to guide you into all truth." I'm getting goosebumps. Why is the world so lost? There's no truth. There's no truth anywhere. And you know why there's no truth anywhere? Because even those who are Christians don't understand the power of the Holy Spirit. They don't understand that constantly the Holy Spirit is exposing truth and falsehood to them, and they are incapable of being able to recognize the truth. Why? First of all, they're not filled with the Holy Spirit, but secondly, they're not attuned to it. They think the Holy Spirit teaches them to speak in tongues and heal people and have gold come from down from heaven. They don't understand that they've been empowered by the Holy Spirit to do what? Who got it? What did the Holy Spirit, why is the Holy Spirit here? Come on.
To teach you that's not a blob of tissue.
Teach you the truth. Oh my goodness. Hey, Raj, Sarah, Tim, you ready? Why are our schools so bad? Because there ain't no truth. Why is our government so bad? There ain't no truth. Why are your kids so out of control? There ain't no truth. And not only isn't there any truth, we don't tell them, hey, get the Holy Spirit so your eyes will open up and you'll see what's going on. You'll be able to discern good from evil. Does the Bible say that or not? And so we've taken what's the Holy Spirit, which is supposed to be our empowerment, and we have turned it into a gift giver. Oh, what are the gifts of the Spirit, brother? Do you know the gifts of the Spirit? Fruits of the Spirit? What are the fruits? Can you recite to me the fruits of the Spirit? See, listen. If you have the truth, the fruits follow. We're seeking the fruits rather than the truth. So Dizdar's got a truth that demons are operating. The Holy Spirit's giving him that truth. Why didn't Rich walk in that? Because he doesn't have that truth. It's right there for him. I get one of the people who emailed me yesterday needs deliverance. They need deliverance. And you know what? I ought to be able to give it to them. I think it's, hang on here. Morning, it's Coach. You're on the air. Is that you, Matt? Is that you, Matt?
Yeah.
You're on the air, brother.
Oh, just wanted to be talking about the purpose of the Holy Spirit. It's pretty clear to me, and it's been for a long time, that we've got one of two choices in this world as Christians. We've got two coaches out there. One's the Holy Spirit. The other one is Satan. We can pay attention to the Holy Spirit. We can ask him for help, and he will deliver if we are in tune with listening to him. If we don't, the other coach is going to grab us and do whatever he wants with us.
Mm-hmm.
We are very, very blessed to have the Holy Spirit as our helper, as our counselor, as our teacher. And when we listen to the Holy Spirit, then all great things just abound. But when we listen to Satan, there's hell to pay.
Matt,
Two coaches, coach. You know that. Either got the good coach or the bad coach.
It's like, that's it, bro. Thanks, Matt.
Have a good.
It was like I got in my car one time. I got a nice new, I got a Suburban. And I kept getting in it, and the seats got hot. It's summer. It's 90 degrees, and the seat's hot. And what the heck? What? And Michelle leans over and says, oh, honey, turn it off. You got to turn it off. I didn't even know that power was available to me. Like, you mean I can turn that thing off? Yeah. Are we teaching in our schools, as Matt was saying there, are we teaching our kids the power that they have that comes with them with the Holy Spirit, that they now can be guided to all truth and rich? They'll know it's not just a blob of tissue. They'll know they just didn't come from a monkey. They'll know global warming is a fraud. They'll know Hillary's a crook. They'll know. But we have taught them that the Holy Spirit isn't for anything other than speaking in tongues and making me feel good and coming alongside and be a comforter, when in fact it is the Spirit of truth. So when we look out across the spectrum of the world, is it any wonder that there ain't no truth anywhere you look? Hey, Roger, when's the last sermon you heard on the Holy Spirit at your church guiding you into the truth?
Well, I think, it's been a little while. I think a hardcore Holy Spirit sermon.
They'll be talking about the gifts, though, Roger. They'll talk about the gifts. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I've never associated the Holy Spirit with speaking in tongues. So it's never really bothered me as far as learning and desiring more knowledge of the Holy Spirit. I've always associated the Holy Spirit as kind of unlocking the door to God's word to help me understand God's word. And that is why if I go to a city town meeting or you go and you share, they look at you like a deer with headlights. And that is because they do not have the Holy Spirit to understand what it is that you're even talking about.
Exactly. And in fact, what I like about the Q is the Holy Spirit lays something out, and all of a sudden, Tim says, yeah, let me tell you. Because it bears witness in him to the truth. And other people who aren't in touch with the Holy Spirit hear the same thing, and it means nothing. It goes right over. But I think that we have, for lack of a better term, care for her, Coach, we have prostituted the Holy Spirit merely for gifts. Just gifts. Rather than the empowerment to discern good from evil, right from wrong, truth from a falsehood, what I should do from what I shouldn't do. That's the greatest power of the Holy Spirit. See, if I really had the indwelling of the Holy Spirit and really understood the power, I could heal people. I could do that. But also, if I had the indwelling and the empowering of the Holy Spirit, I wouldn't do so much stupid stuff. I wouldn't need healed. And so here we are in the church with an unbalanced Godhead.
No.
Our Godhead's unbalanced. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, three parts. We can't explain how that works. But guys and girls, boys and girls, Jesus isn't here. Jesus isn't here. Jesus is sitting at the right hand of his Father. He isn't here. Who is? The one who's going to guide us into all truth. Jesus said, it wouldn't do me any good if I just stayed here because I could just talk to one person at a time. But as soon as I get out of here, I'm going to send the GPS. I'm going to send this God's positioning system, and I'm going to be able to communicate with you everywhere that you are. And listen, this is not hard, but it's not taught. If you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you already have the ability to discern good from evil, right from wrong. You already have the power to make the right decision. You already have it. I was talking with a girl, lady, whatever, down in Sarge isn't on with this morning. He's flying probably. He would attest to this. She's telling us about her marriage and her divorce and what a lousy marriage she's went in. And you know what she said, Rich? She said, you know, the Holy Spirit told me not to marry him. Duh. See, the Holy Spirit ain't going to make you do anything. So we send our kids into the public schools. We teach them that they came from apes. And we squash the Holy Spirit inside of them that would naturally tell them that's not true. Naturally. See, if the church began to teach the kids in the church the power of the Holy Spirit, the schools couldn't get away with the crap they get away with. The schools get away with the crap they get away with because the kids in the schools have no greater discernment than the Christian kids have no greater discernment than the non-Christian kids. I'm going to pause a second, give somebody a chance to say something. We'll show you something else. Go ahead. Somebody jump in here. Come on. Holy Spirit speaking to somebody. Hey. Yes. Rod, you're not on yet, man. You keep poking around. Poke once and let it roll.
I am poking once.
There, stop. There you got it.
I don't know if this is what you want, but I'm thoroughly convinced one of the greatest things, and you've talked about this, is the kids don't know truth because they don't have the Holy Spirit. But more importantly, we have got to get kids out of public education, period. And as a grandparent, one of my things I'm going to strive to do is if none of my grandkids, if possible, will ever set foot into public education. There is no truth there. Truth is maligned. Truth is torn down. I don't care how many Christian teachers are there. I don't care if there's a fellowship of Christian athletes there. It is a bastion of evil.
So how are they able to get away with it without people recognizing it? Come on,
we
Dylan.
Too damn.
Go ahead, Rog.
Damn busy.
What do you think, Dylan?
Damn busy.
I mean, when the parents, the leaders, the generation that's supposed to carry the mantle is weak, why do we expect the kids to be any different?
Right. And when Dylan, when's the last time somebody sat you down, not trying to put your daddy on the spot here, and say, listen, Dylan, the rest of your life, this is going to be easy, brother. You got the Holy Spirit inside of you, and the Holy Spirit's going to guide you to the truth. And you're going to hear it, and you're going to know it. There's not going to be any doubt in your mind. But as soon as you get that revelation and you know what the truth is, you better realize this. There's going to be somebody that's going to come and try to steal that way, try to steal that truth away from you and try to get you to ignore it and try to get you to do something else. And as parents and as teachers, it's our job to teach our children how to exercise the Holy Spirit, how to recognize when they hear him. And then once they know his voice, they won't continue to fall for this bull crap. Can somebody tell me how any – I'm going to get mad here a second. How any pastor can stand in the pulpit filled with the Holy Spirit, with the truth, and not tell his congregation to get their kids out of those schools? Can anybody explain that to me? Come on, Tim. How can any pastor be so blind he can't understand what's going on in those schools?
I have no answer for you, Coach.
Does anybody have an answer? I know the answer. Here's the answer. They want the Holy Spirit for the gifts, but they don't want the Holy Spirit for the truth. They know. Hey, Rog, if you were to go to your pastor and say, hey, listen, Pastor John, how come you're not talking about the schools? Now, brother, he knows. He knows what's going on in the schools. But he's going to choose to give you a lie. A lie that he's rationing. You with me? What's that?
Hey, Coach.
They don't want to deal with
it. They don't want to deal with it. Yes, Steve.
These people that think that they want the Holy Spirit for gifts, and they receive a gift. I think you better be damn sure that it is the Holy Spirit, because what you said is exactly right. You'll know the truth with the Spirit. I was a Christian for almost 25 years until one day, then the Holy Spirit decided to give me a gift.
Amen.
I never share that. Okay?
Uh-huh.
And then it was a special kind of gift, and I've known the truth since I was born again, 1970.
Amen.
I know. So these people that are running around, the Holy, I don't know what word to use. The Holy Spirit is a gentleman. He doesn't run around inside of people so people are screaming and dancing and barking and hysterical laughing for hours on world.
Amen.
If you have the Holy Spirit in you, and it's the Holy Spirit, you are humble to the point of fear.
Amen.
This isn't a game. The Holy Spirit and the gifts that he gives is a game. So I think a lot of these people, don't forget now, there's false tongues. There's a lot of false tongues. Ask Russ Dizdar about that. There's a lot of people out there rolling around, and it's not real.
But why? See, folks, great, good point, Steve. But here, let's not miss the point. Why? It's because they don't see the Holy Spirit as a truth detector. It ain't Rush Limbaugh.
You're right. You're 100% right, Coach.
So when people are born again, they are not instructed that you now have the truth detector inside of you, and you don't have to fall for this stupid stuff anymore. In fact, what do? You say, now you've got the Holy Spirit. Let's hear you speak in tongues. Come on. Come on. You got that language. We focus on that, on this. Makes me want to scream.
It's not right. The Holy Spirit, I'll give gifts to somebody at his, when he's ready to do it. You can be a Christian for 90 years and then receive a gift. It's not an immediate thing. God gives gifts throughout your whole life. Or he may not decide to give anybody a gift, but that doesn't mean you don't have the Spirit of God in you.
Or, Steve, I would say even more, you don't know how to exercise the gift. I would say, I'm saying right now prophetically, see, there I go. I was raised in one of those churches. I'm speaking truth right now. There's some of you right now that are dealing with something, an addiction, whatever it is, smoking. See, I just can't quit smoking. Well, what a denial of the Holy Spirit. What are you talking about? You can't quit smoking. Come on.
Discernment.
It's a denial of the Holy Spirit.
Yep.
And we have to learn how to exercise it and move in it and flow with it. It's not some otherworldly. It's the power to discern good from evil, truth from lies, light from dark. Listen, I ain't bragging, man. I can walk in a place. It takes me 10 seconds to know the spirit that's in that place. Not maybe the specific spirit, but to know I ain't believing anything I hear here. I'm out of here. Why? Because I got a spirit in me that says, whoa.
Right. Exactly.
But that's not why we're using, that's not the way we're using the Holy Spirit, is it? That's not. We're making it otherworldly. Otherworldly. So, why are our schools a mess? Hey, Roger, is it possible for a kid to be educated and not know the truth? I don't care. You guys listen to Rachel Maddow? Hey, Right Wing Watch, are you ready? Here we go. You ready? Rachel Maddow is all the rage of the left, and ain't none of them know the truth. None of them. They have their truth, but they don't have the truth. And she, hang on, Tim, and she's so popular because she's spewing out this bilge, and they can't discern good from evil, right from wrong. They can't discern it. They say, she's right. She's got a big audience, a lot of people who are lost. They don't know the truth. Go ahead, Tim.
I got a question for you. Maybe you can answer this for me. I had a friend, I'm so good friends with his wife, where he and his husband, let me say that again, he and his husband are leading worship at this Presbyterian church. So where's the truth or the Holy Spirit in them leading the church congregation in worship? How does that work?
Well, the truth is the Holy Spirit isn't at work there, because if he was at work there, they would know that two men can't be spouses. So do you understand that? How can any church marry or allow homosexuals to freely participate in the church, other than they don't have the Holy Spirit in that church to discern good from evil? They don't. And because they don't have the Holy Spirit, they go with their emotions. And as our friend Chad tells us, your emotions will betray you. We just got to love those people. We just got to love them. Well, I love them, but they ain't coming in here and fellowshipping with me and bringing that crap in here. I'm sorry. They ain't going to bring that spirit in here.
Bingo. I said that for a purpose, because even though you go to a church, doesn't mean it is the body of Christ.
That's it. Right. And so because people don't have – see, Rich, you know why you're not welcome in churches? Because you got that Holy Spirit in you. And you come in there and they say something and, boy, your stop sign goes up.
You know, Dave, I've seen evidence of it this past weekend. I don't know if you remember or not, but – L.A. Marzulli was speaking, and he showed a little video, and the crowd sort of erupted in laughter. And Robert and I looked at one another, and we didn't think it was funny at all. And L.A. Marzulli come, and he stopped. Do you remember that?
I do, because he thought it was funny they were laughing, right?
And he said, well, that's odd.
Yep, I remember that moment.
It was the spirit of truth that immediately had Robert and I look at one another, and we both thought at the exact same time, what are they all laughing about?
Mm.
You called it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they don't have the ability to discern truth from... That's why I said yesterday in the show, and I wasn't trying to make anybody mad, if we're not careful, we're running down bunny trails with non-essential stuff that doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Put major on the majors, right?
Mm-hmm. Coach?
Yep.
And Robert, I think it was fear, nervousness, because we were watching live and thought the same thing. You know, like, why are they laughing? It was probably a nervous laughter and fear. And God hasn't given us a spirit of fear.
No, of comfort.
Yes.
Peace and love and a sound mind.
Truth. Because, see, truth brings comfort. Truth brings comfort and peace. Now you know. I'm looking for something. Keep talking, man, because I got to show you this. Because, Rich, you said something just, boy, went right inside of me.
And if you don't have that peace of mind, that comfort, what's the opposite? Insanity.
Right.
And that's what I see everything out there is. Insane.
It's insanity because we don't recognize it, right? We don't recognize it. Bear with me. I'm still looking for this thing here. This is because, Rich, you just hit upon it. Man, L.A. felt it. Yes, go, George.
You know, this is why we see a lot of Christians addicted to the same drugs, doing the same sins as the people of the world, because they don't understand the power of the Holy Spirit.
They don't, George.
He shows us.
I'm with you, buddy. I'm with you.
Okay. Actually, it's an emotional response to what they've seen, and the Holy Spirit has nothing to do with emotion. It has to do with truth.
Our emotions are supposed to be controlled. Now, listen, I'm going to send right now, Jared, I'm going to send you something. And, folks, I'm going to give you fair warning that this is absolutely let me get it up here. This is absolutely offensive. I'm going to tell you something, okay? And if you want to tune in, don't you send me an email. If you're not a big boy, don't watch this, okay? And if you're going to get offended by something, then I'm giving you a warning right now, turn it off. It's 30 seconds. Put the sound down. But I need you to see this. Jared, hang on, man. I'll be right there in just a second, Jared. And I want you to... No, I hit the wrong thing. Hang on, Jared. Boom, it's coming to you, Jared. Sarah Silverman. Sarah Silverman. I don't know if you guys know of her or not. Boy, I haven't gotten to hardly anything I want to get to. It's okay. Sarah Silverman's a stand-up comedian. She's a, dare I say it? I think I'm allowed to say it. She's a God-hating Jew. A God-hating Jew. No, I'm sorry. A Christ-hating Jew. Okay? This is 31 seconds from a clip where she's talking about Jews having crucified Jesus. Now, I understand it's comedy. I get it. Ain't funny to me, but I get it. And I want you to listen to this 30-second clip and listen to the reaction of the crowd. Go ahead, Jared.
You know, they felt, you know, everybody blames the Jews for killing Christ. And then the Jews try to pass it off on the Romans. You know, I'm one of the few people that believes it was the blacks. I don't care. Good. I hope the Jews did kill Christ. I'd do it again. I'd fucking do it again in a second. I hear his Birkenstocks clacking this way.
Hey, Rich. You notice nobody went up there and knocked her teeth out? right? You tell me there aren't Christians sitting in that crowd listening to it, laughing, clapping, ha ha, that's so funny, mocking Christ. Well, we're supposed to love her, just love her, just love her. Somebody's trying to say something.
You know, how many times do you get told, oh, you're just being too serious?
Yeah, too, just relax, well, just enjoy it.
And I say, and you're not. Others are not being serious.
That's right.
They're laughing at stuff that is not funny.
Yeah.
Josh Manta just texted me, said everyone laughed because the man said he was not used to women coming on to him in that L.A. Marzulli thing. Not used to it. Somebody's trying to, obviously, you, Sarah, someone wanted to say something because I want, I got 9 minutes. I want to try to bring this home here. Go ahead.
I don't think they were Christians.
No, they certainly weren't Christians, right?
No.
Probably churchgoers.
Well, yeah, dead in the pew, so to speak.
Well, why are they dead in the pew?
They're not getting it from their preachers.
They're not the Holy Spirit.
But also, it's not just there. You got to do it your own. You got to do your own research. You got to get your own oil. I can't take your oil. You know, I can't take your salvation and put it on me.
That's right. You got to walk it out yourself, right? You got to walk it out yourself. While I'm on this topic, I think I'm going to cover this a little bit tomorrow as well. Jared, go up there and bring up. It says, very first thing, what does the Holy Spirit do? Hey, this is good, isn't it? Isn't this just good, down-to-earth, nitty-gritty stuff that we need to know, huh? Now, I'm going to tell you, you walk into your church and you start talking about the Holy Spirit, people will get uncomfortable. It's sad. This has just got questions. I like going to it because I don't know whether it's Christian or not, but it's good. What does the Holy Spirit do? Answer. Well, the Bible's quite clear. The Holy Spirit is active in our world. The book of Acts, which sometimes goes by the longer title, the Acts of the Apostles, could just as accurately be called the Acts of the Holy Spirit through the Apostles. After the apostolic age, there have been some changes, and the Spirit does not inspire further scriptures, for example, but he continues to do his work in the world. First, the Holy Spirit does many things in the lives of believers. He is the believer's helper. He indwells believers and seals them until the day of redemption. This indicates that the Holy Spirit's presence in the believer is irreversible. He guards and guarantees the salvation of the ones he indwells. Scripture's references are here. The Holy Spirit assists believers in prayer, intercede for God's people in accordance with the will of God. The Holy Spirit regenerates and renews the believer. At the moment of salvation, the Spirit baptizes the believer into the body of Christ. Believers receive the new birth by the power of the Holy Spirit. Spirit comforts believers with fellowship and joy as they go through the hostile world. The Spirit in his mighty power fills believers with all joy and peace as they trust God, causing believers to overflow with hope. Sanctification is another work of the Holy Spirit in the life of a believer. Spirit sets himself against the desires of the flesh and leads the believer into righteousness. The works of the flesh become less evident, and the fruit of the Spirit becomes more evident. Believers are commanded to be filled with the Spirit, which means they are to yield themselves to the Spirit's control. The Holy Spirit's also a gift giver. There are different kinds of gifts. We talked about that. Let's go down to the next one. The Holy Spirit also does work among unbelievers. Jesus promised that he would send the Holy Spirit to convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. The Spirit testifies of Christ, pointing people to the Lord. Currently, the Holy Spirit's also restraining sin and combating the secret power of lawlessness in the world. This action keeps the rise of the Antichrist at bay. The Holy Spirit has one other important role, and that is to give believers wisdom. There it is, guide you into all truth, by which we can understand God. The Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God, for we know a person's thoughts except the Spirit of the person which is in him. So no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. It's the only way you can have the mind of Christ. Since we've been given the amazing gift of God's Spirit inside ourselves, we can comprehend the thoughts of God as revealed in the Scriptures. The Spirit helps us understand. This is wisdom from God rather than wisdom from man. No amount of human knowledge can ever replace the Holy Spirit's teachings. And there's no Holy Spirit in the world. There's none in the school. There's none in Hollywood. There's none in the music industry. There is no Holy Spirit. We're not taught to exercise the Holy Spirit. We're not taught to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. And therefore, we can no longer discern good from evil. Our consciences have seared. They're seared. They are, man. About as simple as it gets. Somebody help me here. Otherwise, I'm going to dive in here and I'll go for another 4 hours. This is enlightening. This is eye-opening. I'm going to tell you something. This is why people got mad at me a few weeks ago when I told them I'd gone all day and hadn't sinned. They got mad at me because they couldn't do it. I try to take captive every thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Well, first of all, how can I take captive every thought without the Holy Spirit? And number two, how can I know that it exalts itself against the knowledge of God if I don't have the Holy Spirit? But I have the Holy Spirit in me. So therefore, when they tell me that I have to smoke a cigarette, I say, are you kidding me? I ain't doing that. It's a lie. I don't have to smoke it.
You, hey, Dave.
What?
You know, when you said that, I thought about it. You know what? That you went all day without sinning, you know, I didn't think it was funny and I didn't get mad about it.
That's right.
It's just the truth. It's just the truth.
That's right.
I don't have an emotional response to it of any kind other than it's true and
status quo. That's right. Good. Good coach. Go for it. Right. Go for it, coach. Good.
Coach, I beat you. I went 3 days without sinning once.
Well, that's only because you were counting. I think I could have made it 3. If I was really, really purposefully trying. But see, they get mad because they say, oh, how can you do that? You sin every day in thought, word, and deed. No, I'm sorry. I do sin in thoughts, but those aren't sins. I take captive the thought. Once it comes to me, I take captive and I bring it to the obedience of Christ. So it's not a sin. Now, you can go around and not take captive that thought. You sin away all you want to. But that's not where I walk. I don't do it. So, Rich, that's why I get fired up when people on Facebook accuse me of lying about something. I don't lie. Hey, sorry. I don't lie. I'm not telling you I don't tell lies. I don't lie. I don't lie. Sometimes I'll lie to my wife and she says, do I look good in this? I want to stay alive. But I don't walk a life of lies. And I don't lie to Rich. And I don't lie to George. And I don't lie to Tim, and I don't lie to Roger. I don't lie. I used to. So I got the Holy Spirit. Now the Holy Spirit says, you know what? You go ahead and keep lying, and you're going to get caught. You go ahead and be Susan Rice and say that you don't know anything about it. You go ahead and you be Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton. You lie and lie and lie. But you know what? The Spirit of Truth's coming. And hey, Rich, I've known for a long time they're lying. How did I know it? Right there, I knew it. I knew it. They're lying. They're lying. And what are we finding out now? My golly. That truth's coming out, isn't it? Why? Because there's nothing hidden that will not be revealed. Nothing. Nothing. And so we're living in a world of lies where everybody lies. It's the way of living. Pastors lie. Church elders lie. Somebody give me a thumbs up, Tim. They lie to the people. They lie about the finances. They lie about others who are caught in sin in the church, and they discipline. They lie. They lie. They lie. They lie. They lie.
They lie to themselves.
They lie to themselves, saying, "Well, the Lord will forgive me, or I'm doing this for the right reason, or you know, I don't really want to go there because it'll just bring disunity and disharmony to the church." In other words, the unity and disharmony in the church is more important than the truth. Is what they're saying. Holy Spirit guides them into all truth. The Holy Spirit never guides you into all ways to avoid the truth or to hide the truth or to cover the truth. The Holy Spirit unveils truth, reveals truth. Now you have a decision. Once that truth is unveiled and revealed to you, now you got yourself a big boy decision to make. Are you going to accept and follow the truth, or are you going to throw dirt on it and act like it was never? That's our battle. That's our battle. And, well, I got more to do. I got more to do on this thing. I'm going to part two tomorrow. It's good stuff, boys. This is where the rubber meets the road. And whoever it is out there that can't quit that addiction, Somebody's lying to you. You got the Holy Spirit in you. You can quit that. In Jesus' name. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.